The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Biggest landlords with more than 100 properties own 1 in 5 of Dublin rentals. That's according to new data released by the Residential Tenancies Board. Thus, the data provides a contrary image to the idea that private landlords are leaving the market in droves. Now, to talk about this report from the Residential Tenancies Board, I'm joined by Carl Dieter from Irish Mortgage Brokers. Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
What do you make of this report?
I'm kind of surprised. Last month, the RTB annual report said there was 23,000 fewer registered tenancies in 2023. And then today we hear that there's more and that, it appears that there's more landlords as well. Now, it's not to say things that sound incompatible can't be true, but I'm just not seeing it because...
So they confirmed that people were leaving the market in droves and then they say there are more coming in. But could it be that people who were delinquent in not registering with the RTB are now signing up for whatever reason?
Yeah, I think that a few fairly high profile cases have changed that. And I do suspect that there's a large number of people who, now that it's onto annual registration and greater data and understanding of it, and certainly where you give tax incentives to the renters and, you know, they want to make sure that their landlord is registered in order to get it, that you have kind of a bit of a virtuous circle there, and that is a large driver of it. There's also some strange possibilities, though, where you could have a landlord fleeing the market and yet more landlords. So a lot of landlords are now in their age group of 65 and above, and for a lot of them, they don't want to actively be landlords anymore. They want to retire, which is...
And they may have multiple properties.
Yeah.
Which they sell on a one-off basis to loads of other new landlords.
Well, it could be that, or they could, if they had 4 kids, they could give each of their 4 children a house each. And now, because there's nothing that says you magically like deregister as a landlord one day, so they stay on statistically as a landlord, and now there's 4 children who are a landlord too. So now you've got 5 landlords where there used to be one,
and yet
they've sold 6 houses, and it looks like landlords are simultaneously fleeing the market and yet entering the market. So it's like, I don't know, Schrodinger's landlord or something. It's like 2 things at once that don't seem like they make sense.
You know, lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Yeah, well, the statistics can be tricky to get your head around. I mean, if you look at it, like in 2016, there was 320,000 tenancies, and we've built a stack of houses since then. Loads of them are built to rent, and yet today we have 230,000. So there was always these issues with the way that we were doing counting. But, you know, we know that there's increased professionalization in the sector. We know that there's a huge amount of build to rent that is still coming through, was on stream and coming to the market and getting taken up. So you are going to see an increase in total rental stock. You are going to see an increase, I suppose, in landlords, because not all of these new builds can all be the same landlord. So you'd see some of that. But when you look at the kind of numbers there, I don't think that that change is being done by the small mom and pop landlord, who I know from research I did even like 10 years ago with Brian Lucy and Trinity and Marie Hunt, who was CBRE at the time, she's moved on, that like the small landlords were in a state of stasis and looking to get out. Sherry Fitzgerald had said a few years ago 21,000 landlords had left the market. The Department of Housing said that about 40,000 had left the market. So I find it difficult to believe, and I'm open to correction because I'm often wrong but seldom in doubt, but I find it difficult to believe that landlords, or small landlords in particular, are suddenly rushing into a market that is so toppy and where the incentives to get in aren't as strong as they would be in other asset classes.
Rents are high. If it's a brand new let, the rents can be set by market forces. But if it's an old let, it's governed by the annual increase of limited at 2%. So,
yeah, you get these inherited limitations on getting market rent. And strangely enough, if you weren't mercenary about getting those market rents, you became inhibited from doing it. So in all the moves that the government made, they never made a mechanism to right-size the good landlords. And if you're a good landlord and you can't get, like, you get 1,500, the person next door is 2,500, you're like, wow, so I'm down 12,000 a year. And then on any profits I do make, you know, I've got to pay the top rate of tax typically, because the number one form of income for most small landlords is still employed income. So rental goes on top, goes at the top rate normally. And you're saying to yourself, but prices have gone up. So if I can't get those high rents I keep on reading about, maybe instead of paying, you know, nearly 50% tax, I'll just sell it, get a big chunk of change, and I'll pay 33% on the gain. And that makes a lot of sense. Like, there is a structural element to a landlord. Like, they buy when they're in their 30s or 40s, and then they sell as they approach their 60s. And all those old Section 23s from the 80s and 90s, they're all coming to that point. This is a natural thing. But as an advisor, you know, as someone working in this sector, I don't see young people coming in saying, hey, can I borrow to buy an investment property? The numbers from the BPFI don't support that. The numbers that we hear from brokers don't seem to support that. The one thing that could be happening, there could be some big cash pool somewhere in family money that they're buying those assets and it's not really showing up in this part of the system I work in, but it's just, it's not too evident. So I think we need to see more of these reports and then start to measure one against the next, and that'll give
us
a clearer picture.
But at the moment, it doesn't make sense to you.
Yeah, it's property so difficult to understand. Even when you have excellent data, it kind of defies full comprehension. Like, and that's in any market. I've never met anyone in the world who knows everything. Maybe yourself will come close, but I'll give you a hard time. But on a serious note, you know, there's so many moving parts that it is difficult to really get a true picture of what's happening from a single report that, in a sense, almost contradicts the annual report that is only a month old.
Yeah. What do we know about the corporate landlords? And you talked about the increasing professionalisation of the sector, you know, where you get good quality blocks which are well maintained and where the rents, unfortunately, are very high at the moment. Yeah, well, what do we know about the occupancy of those offerings?
Well, we know that they're growing as a market segment, and it certainly seems to be a city phenomenon. So if you look at large, you know, super landlords where it's, you know, 100 homes or more, they tend to be almost exclusively in cities and for the most part, Dublin. When you look at the figures nationally, outside of the capital, the private tenancies associated with huge landlords is only 2.6%. And those in Dublin are almost 23%. So there's a few things. Like, for years and years, everyone said we need to professionalize the sector. Why don't we have what they have like in other countries where there's like big funds and you get like really nice houses and they're well kept and no rogue landlords or, you know, crazy people knocking on your door.
The rent may well be predictable either by local government regulation or by inflation or whatever the contract
we got
might
all
be.
Those things. We got all those things. And now that we have them, we want to hearken back to the small landlord that we spent the last 100 years complaining about. So that strikes me as weird. But you've got to look at this because some people say, yeah, but, you know, 22% of the market being them, that's not good. Well, what's the alternative? Let's not think about what you think or how you feel, because frankly, that usually never matters in world events. Let's just say, what's the alternative? The alternative is, if these investors and larger landlords didn't exist, would all of those houses exist? And I would argue that in many cases they wouldn't, and therefore we'd have a worse situation than we have now. And our situation right now is not exactly perfect. So,
but I'm just interested in the occupancy rates, you know, because the rents are very high and, you know, you see them being advertised at whatever it might be, $2,500 a month for a small two-bedroom department. And you wonder how many people are actually in a position to be able to afford that stuff in any kind of long-term way. You might do it as an emergency, but you're trying to save maybe to buy something.
True. But look, it's like, you know, I'd sell you, I have a cup of coffee in front of me. I wouldn't be able to sell it to you right now, but if we were in the middle of the Sahara Desert and there was nothing else to drink, I will sell that to you for 10,000 pat and you will pay it. So you've got a certain desperation factor which kicks in. You've also got a situation though where in the past, if you built, say, you know, 50 apartments, you'd rent them at whatever price and then the next year you'd change the rents.
Yeah.
Because now you're kind of bound to that day one rental price, it actually makes better sense from a financial perspective. And this is something you do more on a spreadsheet than discuss on air, that you can explain it easily. But it actually makes sense not to rent that house out unless you can get the maximum price, because then that's baked into the cake and that describes or has an implication for all future values of all your property investments.
I'll read out some of the comments coming in. We've been landlords for over 20 years. Rents are high. Business is good, but we're fleeing the market and selling the lot. It's all too scary. Really, a Leaving Cert class would do a better job of regulating this market. That's from Mike. I'm a landlord who's left the market. I had 5 properties, 2 apartments, 3 houses. They are now sold off. That's from Harry. I have some reservations about this report from the RTB. I live in a huge apartment complex where close to 50 of the units are rented. The RTB only lists 4 of those on their website. Also, local authorities are not obliged to register tenancies with the RTB, and some voluntary housing associations believe they are not required to register. Uh-huh. So with all this missing data on the rental market, I don't see how the RTB can be relied on for anything. That's from Darren.
Yeah, I think, well, there is a... that last comment is actually an interesting one, because I think actually social housing tenancies probably should be registered.
Yeah.
And because if you have a problem with social housing tenancy, like it's you versus the council and this, like, I don't even know what you call it, like the vampire squid that you go into and you might never find your way out. Now, there's a process, et cetera, but most people are unhappy with it. That might be the right choice. And by the way, as far as big landlords go, the state, you know, 200,000 or more houses owned by them and quite often badly managed, may I add, in a respectful manner. I'm just saying that's a factual point. The approved housing bodies as well, by the way, we talk about those mega landlords, they're also part of it. So if people want to get upset about, you know, there's all these huge landlords, a lot of them are social housing effect.
But there's a good example there of given by Darren of the block where he's in, 50 apartments, all owned privately, and only four of them in registered with the RTB, even though many of them will be rented by their owners to third parties, but not registered.
That blows my mind. Darren, my email is kd@yes.ie. Send me a message. I'd love to look. I will personally look into that one because that just blows my mind. I can't think of why that would be the case. Now, there's two things. Darren, you might be wrong. You have to always, that has to be your first thing. Like, you can have a belief and be wrong. But the second is that if you're right, why would these properties not be registered?
I mean, there are all sorts of maybe reasons, like I'm away in London for a year.
It could be a giant Airbnb location.
Could be, you know? Indeed. Yeah.
Could be people who are away, people who died. Could be a couple of them might actually be owned by the council. But 50%, like 50 units and only four registered, that one, like I said, it's just that piques my interest.
A landlord, one property here, leaving the market as soon as possible. Too much red tape, over-regulation, tax treatment and scrutiny is driving me out. I have no rights to my own property. Once the tenant signs a lease, they have all the rights to the asset. I've always treated my tenants well, but it's costing me money to subsidise the current tenant due to rent pressure zone. Makes zero economic sense. That's one. Another one, landlords unlikely to buy already rented units because of rent control. The calculation should not be market rent, but rather return on investment, and is very healthy in the rental sector.
Yeah, so like if you're sitting on cash, and you can put $1 million into the bank and get, you know, 2.5%, or you can put $1 million into property, and if you choose well, you'll get 7 or 8%. That's fine. That, though, is instantly destroyed when you introduce the idea of leverage or borrowing. And that's why I'm saying that you don't see this happening through the financial system so much. Because if you're paying kind of 5-6%, and then you've got some costs on top of that, and you get, say, 7 or 8%, you're down to margins so thin that you're just better off putting your money on deposit. Unless there's some kind of magical thing that isn't obvious to most.
But if you've got the cost of finance, it doesn't really make that much sense.
Yeah, but if you're sitting on cash and you need to invest it somewhere, well, then property might make more sense. And that's the area where I was saying that if landlords are going in, that has to be where it's coming from, because it's not showing up in the financial system.
Hey, Carl, before I let you go, I gave you one title, but I think you rejoice in another now, do you?
I have many titles. Usually they have four letters in them, and it's not Carl. But yeah, I work with Irish Mortgage Brokers. We're a financial advice firm. And then my other business is online application. And we actually create the systems that the leading brokers in this country use to put mortgages into banks. So it's a tech business. Very exciting stuff. I'll talk about you some other time. Thanks.
Carl Dieter, thank you very much for joining us. Now, still to come on News Talk.
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.